The following program, Normal Show Live, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate for the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate or encourage any illegal activity and advise all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws by visiting normal.org, N-O-R-M-L.org. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers of Normal Show Live are their own and do not necessarily reflect the philosophy and policies of Normal. Listener discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it,
and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think we need to rethink and decriminalize our marijuana laws.
To the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws presents... Normal Show Live! Marijuana Nation! Now, here's your host, Normal's Outreach Coordinator...
Good afternoon, tokers and tokats, and welcome. It is Wednesday, October 19th, 2011, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Thanks for joining us for show number 795, a very special day here at Rolla J Studios. First, joining us back from the brink, is Ganja John the Pirate. How you doing, Ganja John?
I am doing fantastic. How are you?
There be pirates here.
Oh, there be pirates here.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. And a ton of good smoke.
Could be. How you doing, my man?
I'm doing great.
Yeah. Good to have you. I heard you're getting a new house.
Getting a new place. Moving on up.
Just like the Jeffersons, huh?
Yep, exactly like the Jeffersons.
Also joining us from our virtual studio in Grastoria, Oregon, is the lovely Cannabis Carrie. How you doing, Carrie? Carrie.
Oh, no Carrie.
We have no Carrie. Oh, no. We'll have to get Carrie back here eventually.
Nope, it's here. I'm here. I'm sorry.
You did
it. I have two different unmute buttons to hit now. So.
Oh, yeah. Me with my 24-channel board here, I really feel for you.
So, do you then.
How's everything in Astoria today?
Everything's great.
All right. What do we got for our hemp headlines?
Today we're going to talk about more fallout from the pressure from the feds, or at least the U.S. attorneys, excuse me, we don't want to push it all on Washington, D.C. and California. We've got a county who is rescinding one of their medical marijuana ordinances that they just passed in August. And also, we are going to talk about Florida and their chance at medical marijuana.
Oh, yeah. People with People United for Medical Marijuana are working hard on that. Also, taking a look at some of the other news stories we got here, a fire at an Oakland Hills home from the Oakland Tribune. We'll check out that from the Mercury News. Also, a protest focusing on the federal medical marijuana crackdown that took place in San Diego. We'll bring that to you. Coming up at 20 after the hour, we've got our friend NorCal Perps calling in with our iRead Wednesday tune. Today we're going to give you some collie buds. Finally, the herb come around. Finally, it's been a long time to wait. We've also got on the show two guests. Now, normally today on Wednesdays we'd be doing cannabis science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, but Dr. Mitch is off today. We've got two different guests to take his place because it takes two to fill the shoes of Dr. Earlywine. Coming up at half past, Richard Feldman from the Independent Firearm Owners of America will be here discussing the Second Amendment rights of medical marijuana patients and how gun rights advocates and marijuana advocates should be coming together to fight for the same liberty. It's a very interesting discussion at half past. And then at 45 past, we're going to speak with Clint Werner. He is the author of Marijuana, Gateway to Health. So we'll get some time to get our cannabis science in here after all. We'll talk all about the health benefits of cannabis, not just for people who are sick and disabled, but for healthy people. Yeah, that's right. Marijuana can help healthy people, too. All that, plus the news crew from KGW is here. We're back in just a second on Normal Show Live.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
The law offices of Omar Figueroa would like to remind you to stand up for your rights. Please do not give up your precious liberties. There's nothing wrong with standing up for our constitutional rights, and in fact, it's the only way to honor the Constitution that gives us these precious rights. Treat law enforcement with respect and respect the Constitution by standing up for your rights. If you are detained or arrested, stand up for your rights by repeating, I respectfully invoke all of my legal and constitutional rights. I do not consent to any search or seizure. I want to remain silent, and I want to speak with my attorney, Omar Figueroa. Omar Figueroa has more than a decade of experience in federal and California courts and graduated from Yale University, Stanford Law School, and Trial Lawyers College. Please contact the law offices of Omar Figueroa at 415-489-0420 or 707-829-0215 or on the web at www.omarfigueroa.com.
This is Normal Show Live.
Weedmaps.com. I'm Radical Russ from Normal. In my job as outreach coordinator, I travel every month, and when I'm on the road, I need a fast, accurate way to find the medical marijuana dispensaries in the area. So I turn to Weedmaps.com. Weedmaps.com has the best dispensary locator online or on your mobile device. Search by zip code or let Weedmaps find you, and in seconds you'll have the addresses, phone numbers, and customer service reviews for the medical marijuana dispensaries in the local area. Weedmaps.com also has a section devoted to helping you find a doctor who understands and recommends medical marijuana under your state's law. You can even check prices on the Medical Marijuana Stock Exchange. Coming soon, you'll even be able to find the listings of Normal attorneys and chapters, local head shops and grow shops, and the best weed-friendly businesses. Weedmaps.com has the information you need to be an informed cannabis consumer. Visit Weedmaps.com today, a proud sponsor of the Normal Network. Inhaling deeply of the sacred smoke.
Medical marijuana, industrial hemp, consumer cannabis. It's time for this week's Normal News with Cannabis Carrie.
More fallout from that crackdown on California medical marijuana businesses by the California U.S. attorneys. Lake County, California is pushing back against medical marijuana dispensaries. In a Tuesday meeting with Lake County Board of Supervisors, the board unanimously voted to rescind a medical marijuana dispensary ordinance that was just passed in August and directed county staff to enforce the county's zoning ordinance, which county officials said do not allow dispensaries. That ordinance in August has already cut the number of dispensaries countywide roughly in half, limiting them to five. And it was met with opposition in the form of the referendum effort. The County Register of Voters, Diane Finley, told the board in last night's meeting that the referendum effort had enough signatures to go on the ballot. The unexpected consequence for local activists was the rescinding of the ordinance altogether, so there would be no reason for a referendum ballot measure. But in doing so, the county now says that zero dispensaries are now legally allowed in that county. Since the five existing dispensaries are not specifically allowed under the county's zoning ordinance, the board has directed the Community Development Department to take any necessary and consistent enforcement action against the dispensaries based on any complaints. The board said that the state law versus federal law concerning medical marijuana has raised too many concerns for them. One community member said after the vote that there is a good chance that the county could get sued over their zoning rules. Community Development Director Rick Cole said for the last few years, he and other county officials, as well as the board, have tried to resolve this very complex issue. Cole says that it has reached a compromise finally, but now we're back to square one. The zoning ordinance clearly does not allow dispensaries. He said it is still not clear which of the county's dispensaries actually meet any state requirements for being organized as nonprofits. Some of the dispensaries applying to the county to operate under the dispensary ordinance didn't have the nonprofit paperwork in order. Lake County is in the central part of the state and has a population of about 65,000 people.
Yeah, this is what we need. Less regulation. You know, it's just crazy when these localities think they can do something to ban dispensaries. Look, if you've got legal medical marijuana patients, there are going to be dispensaries. It just is a matter of whether they're going to be legal and regulated or illegal and under the table. That's the only thing we can decide here. And this is a direct result of this federal crackdown by these four U.S. attorneys in California who have decided that they don't like medical marijuana. They don't like the will of 75% of the people that support medical marijuana nationwide and probably the same rate in California as well. They just want to engage in this crackdown that has serious repercussions for the people that it affects. If you are someone who needs medical marijuana, if you're diagnosed with, let's say, brain cancer tomorrow, you don't have time to wait to go find a plant, find someone who'll get you a clone, grow the plant out, take it to harvest, assuming you know what you're doing, wait for it to cure, and then use your medicine. You need your medicine now. When you close these dispensaries, that doesn't mean that the person with brain cancer suddenly goes, well, I guess I don't get my medicine now. No, it means they go to the parking lot, they go to the park, they go to the black market dealer who will supply the medicine that they need now. Medicine that we cannot guarantee the consistency of, the purity of, the potency of. These are patients. This is medicine. It's time to move forward with sensible regulation of this market for everyone.
And the Florida House Democrat, Representative Jeff Clemons, would like the voters in Florida to consider a state constitutional amendment to legalize medical marijuana for Floridians. Representative Clemons of Lake Worth submitted House Joint Resolution 353 that would put a medical marijuana amendment up for consideration to the voters on the 2012 ballot. Now, it won't be an easy placement on next year's ballot, though. Both the Senate and House have to pass the resolution by a 3/5 margin. But still, if the amendment made the ballot and passed by the voters, it would take effect on July 1st of 2013. Representative Clemons' resolution spans 8 pages and works out some of the details of how a Florida medical marijuana program would work. The language says that the patient must have a diagnosis of a debilitating medical condition by 2 different doctors and would not be allowed to possess more than, quote, legislatively presumed to be medically necessary, unquote. It also states that a patient's marijuana use cannot affect another person's health or well-being, so no smoking in public places. Also, workplaces do not have to accommodate an employee's medical marijuana use, and a patient must be 18 years old or have both parents' consent. Also included, parents will not have their children taken away if they use medical marijuana unless it creates an unreasonable danger to their kids. Caregivers for medical marijuana patients would not face arrest or prosecution or penalty from any professional licensing board for assisting with a patient's use of medical marijuana. Also included, if a law enforcement officer confiscates medical marijuana or suspected medical marijuana in the event of an arrest, that cannabis must be kept safe and not destroyed and must be returned immediately if the person is not prosecuted, the charges are dismissed, or the person is acquitted of any charges. The resolution will have quite a battle in that Republican-controlled legislature in Florida, and you can be sure that they will bring up the ongoing pressure from the feds as an issue in the debate. Now, if you live in Florida, we would like you to contact your representatives real soon today or in the future to support HJR 353.
Man, it's like they treat it worse than plutonium, man. Isn't this amazing? Right now, in the state of Florida, I was just there. I was in Orlando at the end of August, right? And I talked to the kids from University of Central Florida Normal who told me about the pill mills, the pain clinics that people can go to in Florida, where a guy like me, even an out-of-state guy like me, can walk in, complain of pain, have some doctor write me up a script for OxyContin, and then go to any number of these little shacks and get 500 pills worth of OxyContin to do with what I please, right? But we want to have 2 doctors to verify medical marijuana? Okay, so it's easier to get OxyContin than it is to get medical marijuana. That makes a whole lot of sense, considering that the OxyContin is toxic to people's livers and extremely addictive, and cannabis is neither of those 2 things. And furthermore, I love this part in the language. What would be an amount legislatively presumed to be medically necessary? You know, when I'm voting for my legislators, I like to know that they've been to medical school so that they're qualified to be able to make these decisions as to how much cannabis is medically necessary for people, and to be able to do so by fiat in some sort of regulation that would be a blanket statement for all patients out there. They'd all need the same medically necessary amount. This is just so ridiculous. But at least Florida is one of the states where they can try to do this. A lot of people don't realize, and we're lucky out here on the West Coast and in most Western states, but there are only 26 states where the people, by initiative or referendum, can put forth to the people a vote as to what the laws should be in their state. Now, Florida, what they're trying to do here with this legislator is a referendum idea, which is where they put it to the House and Senate, and if they approve, then the people can vote on it. It kind of gets the senators and representatives off the hook, because then they can say, well, we didn't vote to legalize, the people did. I don't think this probably has very much chance of passing, but we sure hope for the best of luck for the people in Florida. All right, we've got some other news here. We told you about the federal crackdown on medical marijuana that's taking place in California, and Sign on San Diego reports that protesters were out to focus on that crackdown. They took to the streets on Tuesday. Later in the day, the city announced a superior court judge issued a ruling on Monday that the stores, medical marijuana dispensaries, are prohibited by the municipal code in San Diego, a ruling similar to one he made last week. Approximately 250 protesters marched from City Hall to the federal courthouse to voice their opposition to recent actions by U.S. Attorney Laura Duffy. The federal prosecutor mailed out hundreds of letters on October 7th to operators of marijuana collectives and their landlords, telling them they must shut down within 45 days or risk criminal prosecution and property seizures. Other U.S. attorneys have sent similar letters to dispensaries across California. They have reminded the public that even though Californians voted in 1996 to allow marijuana for medicinal use, the drug is still illegal under federal law. And of course, this highlights what the ultimate problem is with medical marijuana, and that is you are legalizing 10% of the users of cannabis. Only 10% of its users are legal allowed to have it because they're so sick and disabled that we think locking them up is a bigger evil than them using marijuana. If the patients are ever to get a safe, reliable source of medicine, if they are ever to be treated as first-class citizens like the rest of us, then marijuana needs to be legalized for all people. Quit trying to draw arbitrary lines as to who is healthy enough to lock up in a cage and who is evil enough to prosecute based on their intent when they use this particular plant. There is no medical marijuana. There is no industrial hemp. There is no ganja sacrament. There is one plant. It's called cannabis. It's either dangerous or it's not. It's either legal or it's not. Let's legalize for everyone and stop all of these games around medical marijuana. And in other news coming from California, from the Silicon Valley, MercuryNews.com reports marijuana grow sparks fire at Oakland Hills home. An overload of electricity used for illegal marijuana grow sparked a fire at a house in the Montclair Hills Tuesday night that forced two young children and their great aunt to flee, officials said. The blaze, which presented access problems to firefighters, caused at least $100,000 damage to the split-level hillside house and left it uninhabitable. It was not immediately known how badly the almost two dozen plants in the grow were damaged. The fire, which the fire chief said Wednesday had been smoldering for some time, erupted about 8:30 in a crawl space area of the basement where the grow was located. Drayton said extension cords were strung together to provide power for the ventilation and other systems needed for the grow, and it was an electrical overload that caused the fire. When the fire broke out, two brothers, ages 1 and 3, were inside being watched by their great aunt. Officials said the boys' parents were out of town, but were due back Wednesday after being notified. Now, the problem that you get in a story like this is that people are going to associate the danger here, the fire that takes place, the kids that were in a house that had the fire, with marijuana. When what the problem we have here is a problem of marijuana prohibition. We would no more blame alcohol for a still that caught fire in a house if alcohol were illegal. It is the prohibition that forces people to have to try to duplicate the sun and the earth and the wind indoors. And that's completely illogical. We got plenty of it outside, especially in places like California. What we need to do here is to legalize this and treat it like we would treat any other crop. We don't get a lot of calls, or we don't get a lot of stories in the news about home tobacco gardens catching fire because of electrical overloads. We don't get calls about a lot of home stills blowing up because of people trying to brew whiskey, because people have safe, legal, regulated access to those products. And the manufacturers of those products are also regulated for safety and for purity's sake. We can do this instead of relying on a prohibitionist system that has never worked. If you saw that Ken Burns documentary on prohibition, you've seen that we've learned this lesson before, and there's no reason we have to learn this lesson again. Marijuana is the third most popular substance amongst the American people, behind tobacco and alcohol, and we can no longer ignore the fact that the majority of its users are law-abiding citizens who merely want to be treated with the same respect that we treat beer drinkers with, that we treat tobacco smokers with. We're not advocating that anyone needs to try marijuana, needs to use marijuana. Hell, don't. It leaves more for me. What we're saying here is that the policy does not work any longer, and it never has. It's creating more harm than a legal, regulated market would create. In this society, we have to decide. We can either be free, totally free or totally safe, and you cannot sacrifice your essential liberties to purchase a temporary security. America is much safer when we don't have Mexican cartels that are armed to the teeth to supply our marijuana habits. We are much safer and our borders are more secure when we don't have those smuggling routes that are frequented by the marijuana traffickers. Our forests are much more safe when we don't have people doing illegal grows out there, when they have someplace where they can legally grow. It's time to recognize that legalization is the safer option for public policies. All right, folks, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we are going to bring you more. Oh, I'm a little bit early, Ganja John. I think that's what happened there.
There you go. There you go.
I was so excited to get to the break. Look what happened. I got to get you back on that break stuff, man.
We'll be there. I'll be back soon, I promise.
All right, well, right back after this break.
It's 20 after the hour, and we have to take a short break, if you know what I mean. Please support these sponsors who support Normal Show Live.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. If he said he swam to China, he would send you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
In today's busy world, we're inundated by advertising for all types of pharmaceuticals that come with a laundry list of potential side effects. Shouldn't you have better medical choices? Natural alternatives to pills pushed by Big Pharma? At Alternative Medical Choices, you could choose natural, safe, and effective alternative therapies that are right for your budget without nasty side effects. Cannabis, or marijuana, has been a legal medicine in the Pacific Northwest since 1998. Our doctors will help determine your qualifications for a medical marijuana recommendation in Oregon, no matter where you live. Our massage therapist will ease your aches and stress with soothing hemp seed oil or cannabis-infused massage salves. We also offer acupuncture, Reiki, and other alternative health therapies. Call Alternative Medical Choices in Portland, Oregon at 503-288-5579 or visit our website at www.altmedchoices.com. We specialize in out-of-state recommendations. That's www.altmedchoices.com or call 503-288-5579.
Normal Show Live. We're as much like Cheech and Chong as ordinary Americans are like the Three Stooges.
Hey, Mo! Here, Mo.
I'm a doctor.
I'm a lawyer.
I'm a journalist.
I'm a student.
I'm a teacher.
I'm a representative.
I have cancer.
The outdated laws of prohibition are more dangerous than the plant itself.
I lost my scholarship.
I was fired.
20 million arrests since 1965. This is getting ridiculous.
Our prisons are overcrowded with nonviolent offenders.
We have the opportunity to change.
This is costing our country billions of dollars.
Making my family and I fight in a courtroom is difficult enough when I'm already fighting through chemotherapy.
There's no reason to be scared by tradition anymore.
We can stop this.
We can stop this.
We are the American people.
We can stop this.
And you have our support.
We are old.
Young.
Straight.
Gay.
We're every race and nationality.
And we're not going to give up.
You can tax it.
You can regulate it.
Apply age restrictions.
You can create millions of new jobs.
We can save our economy.
President Obama?
It's time for legalization.
Legalization?
Yes.
We
can.
It's time for your daily Toker Tunes, the best in 420-friendly music from all genres that uplifts, entertains, and informs the public. Today we get tunes for Irie Wednesday, our celebration of that mellow vibe we find in the best of reggae, ska, calypso, and Latin music. If you'd like to submit your song to be played on Normal Show Live, send it to us at stash@normal.org. Now here's some more great independent marijuana music for today's Daily Toker Tune.
All right. Well, we are having a good time here on Irie Wednesday. Oh, I forgot to mention at the top of the show, Wiz Calico's in the house, too. How you doing, Wiz Calico?
Wiz.
The Wizard. Oh, I got to get your mic on.
It's all good. I'm glad to be back. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, glad to have you here. And how are things going in college?
Quite well. It's midterms week this week and next week, so it's kind of crunch time. But, you know, we'll get things done. Not worried about it.
Right on. Also joining us here for Irie Wednesday, we've got NorCal Perps on the phone. How you doing, Kyle?
Not too bad. How you doing, Russ?
We're great. Just adjusting the camera here for Calico so we can actually see him.
Hey.
Aloha, my friend.
Aloha, Kyle. Glad to hear you back, man. Always holding it down on the Iries.
It sounds like he's standing on the Golden Gate Bridge.
Yeah, are you in a windstorm or something?
Let's see. No, it's actually probably because I'm standing close to the computer.
Can hear his heartbeat.
That's what it is. Okay. Well, we got Irie Wednesday happening, and we want to remind people, too, that Irie Island Hour is now on Wednesdays. We got a new show coming tonight?
You know, if you're down to have me do a live show tonight, I'm down to do it.
I might do a Ganja John show tonight. I haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's do it. Let's party. We'll get it on.
If you guys want me to do a Ganja John show and you have my phone number, go ahead and text me.
There you go. Text Ganja John. Let him know the demand is out there.
Yeah.
But right now we got Kyle on the air because we've got our Irie Wednesday Daily Toker Tune we need to get to. So, Kyle, take it away.
All right, Russ. So today we've got Collie Buds, a group that a lot of people have been requesting, and it just took me a little bit of time to get in contact with them. Summer 2007, they debuted with their self-titled albums, which just tore through the Billboard charts. People were referring to the song as a monster of a song. He's toured worldwide, spreading his love for reggae culture and Caribbean music. And he is just now, in 2011, releasing his second album, the Playback EP.
All right. Collie Buds with Finally the Herb Come Around. Sounds like a good tune here for an Irie Wednesday. Let's get to it. This is Collie Buds. Finally the Herb Come Around. Thank you so much, Kyle. Yeah. Talk to you next Wednesday.
Yeah. See you, Russ.
So what?
Yo.
Finally the herbs come around. Me I quit with me and look for me get it by the phone, yeah. Sweet sensei I come around. Me I take a little jar and pass it around. So finally the herbs come around. The I quit with me and look for me stock it by the phone, yeah. When Babylon I come around, ask them where them I go search for. Ever since the herbs slow down, police and road boy them in a showdown. Them I search round the compound. You'd know a man and a wee clown. Find a little piece of land and a flat me home ground. So tell the youth none of it set feel. Too much talk and cocaine I make the world I feel ill, you know. Enough ganja, enough spliff a bill. Only thing where you make man feel still, when me say finally the herbs come around. Me I quit with me I look for me get it by the phone, yeah. When Calibud come around, I fear ganja man tune just a lick from the sound, yeah. Finally the herbs come around. The I quit with man I look for me stock it by the phone, yeah. When Babylon I come around, ask them where them I go search for. There's nothing like this sweet, sweet sensei. The first time me take a job was in elementary. Reach high school, get the herb it plenty. Like scare them dope, this water one not lanky, yeah. Mr. Spock's never empty. The $50 bag, we call that a century. Me stop me own herb documentary. Burn me man, I call that film for 20, yeah. When me say finally the herbs come around. The I quit with me, I look for me get it by the pound, yeah. Sweet sensei, I come around. Me I take a little jar and pass it around. So finally the herbs come around. The I quit with man, I look for me stock it by the pound, yeah. When Babylon I come around, ask them where them I go search for. Yeah. No, 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 no. Yeah, I. Yeah, I. No, no, no. Yo. When them have a realize, good works wanna advertise. When them have a legalize, the farmer manna beg a legal fly. When them have a realize, government them a terrorize. Cooperation them a capitalize. While the farmer manna beg a legal fly. Yo. Finally the herbs come around. The I quit with me and look for me get it by the pound, yeah. When Calibud come around, a pure ganja man tune just a lick from the sound, yeah. Finally the herbs come around. The I quit with me and look for me stock it by the pound, yeah. When Babylon a come around, ask them where them a go search for.
You want a copy of that song for your iPod? Check out the Daily Toker Tunes at the Stash blog by surfing to stash.normal.org and choosing media and then Toker Tunes from the main menu.
Sir, do you think there will or should come a time for us to discuss the possibility of legalization and regulation and control of all drugs, thereby doing away with the violent criminal market as well as a major source of funding for international terrorism? Thank you so much for your time, Mr. President.
Well, I think this is an entirely legitimate topic for debate.
Name the time and place, Mr. President. At Normal, we've been prepping for this debate for 40 years.
What makes something funny? How does humor impact health and psychological well-being? How can you incorporate humor into everyday life? A concise, reader-friendly introduction to an important but often underappreciated topic in modern psychology, Humor 101 explains the role of comedy, jokes, and wit in the sciences and discusses why they are so important to understand. Psychology professor Dr. Mitch Earlywine draws from his personal experiences in stand-up comedy to focus on how humor can regulate emotion, reduce anxiety, and diffuse tense situations, expose pretensions, build personal relationships, and much more. He irreverently debunks the pseudoscience on the topic of humor and leaves readers not only funnier, but better informed. It's part of the Psych 101 series from Springer Publishing, Humor 101 by Dr. Mitch Earlywine, Ph.D.
We have found the witch, may we burn, huh?
Georgia.
Hi, this is Willie Nelson, and I need your help. Our marijuana laws are terribly unfair, and they make criminals out of law-abiding citizens. Nearly 2,000 Americans are arrested every day on marijuana charges. And we are unfairly destroying the lives and careers of hundreds of thousands of people simply because they smoke marijuana. These are not criminals. They are average citizens like you, good neighbors who work hard, raise families, pay taxes, and contribute to their communities. And it's time we stopped arresting responsible marijuana smokers. We need your help to end marijuana prohibition once and for all. It's the fair thing to do.
For more information, contact NORMAL, the National Organization for the Reform of Marijuana Laws. Call toll-free 888-67-NORML or visit their website at norml.org.
NORMAL, unlike any other marijuana or drug reform organization, is built from the ground up by grassroots activists. We are the Marijuana Smokers Lobby, and we aren't just anti-prohibition, we're pro-marijuana. Every week, we take some time to talk to the citizens of local NORMAL chapters across the country and around the world, as well as others who are working to make a difference in the fight to end adult marijuana prohibition. In this segment, we call Grassroots Activism.
All right, welcome back, everyone. This next segment is going to be an interesting one for the show because we are going to talk a little bit about Second Amendment activism instead of marijuana activism, but they kind of go together, and that's what our next guest is here to discuss. It's Richard Feldman, who is the president of the Independent Firearm Owners Association, also the author of Ricochet, which is an amazing look at the gun lobby in America. Richard, welcome to the show.
Thank you very kindly for having me, Russ.
You know, what brought me to my attention to you was an article that you had written in Huffington Post that had said that basically gun owners and people that are Second Amendment activists have a lot in common with marijuana activists. Explain that to our listeners.
Sure. You know, both issues are about individual civil liberties. Both issues are about the role in a democracy between the individual and the government. Both issues really involve law enforcement issues, crime issues are kind of subsumed within the two. And the more I keep looking at this issue, particularly with perhaps last week's showing of the documentary Prohibition, mm-hmm. it's not much of a leap to see that there's an intricate tie-in between these two issues, although perhaps superficially it doesn't look that way. But as you get into it, they're very much tied together. in ways that could be helpful to both issue groups.
Yeah, you know, I this is something that I noted when this first came out. Of course, we're talking about the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives memo that said if a firearms dealer suspects that a person is a marijuana user, even for medical purposes, or even just knows that they're on the medical marijuana registry, they are not allowed to sell or transfer firearms or ammunition to those persons. And I brought up the famous Pastor Niemöller poem from the World War II era, when they said, you know, first they came for the trade unionists. I wasn't a trade unionist, so I didn't speak up. Well, first they came for the medical marijuana patients' guns. And so is that why we should have gun owners speaking up right now?
Well, you know, I think it does force the issue upon gun owners in a way gun owners might not have had to deal with it before. Clearly, there's issues of states' rights versus federalism. But at the end of the day, I believe that what we need to do is change the laws and make the possession of marijuana legal, just like alcohol. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that there shouldn't be time and place restrictions upon its use, but what we've done is create a system in this country where we've inflated the cost. We've really, perhaps in many areas, ruined our law enforcement abilities. We're a nation today, 40 years into the war on drugs, that is bankrupt. We need to save money and pay down our debt. Here's a good way to save $1 trillion and have a salutary effect on our economy, on law enforcement, and on the rights of the American people.
All right. We're speaking with Richard Feldman from the Independent Firearm Owners Association of America. And for those of you waiting for the Dr. Mitch segment, Dr. Mitch is off today, but we'll have a cannabis science segment at 45 after. So stay tuned for that with author Clint Werner. Now, Richard, you know, when this issue came up and I was reporting on it, I got a lot of people that talked to me, asked me about the NRA and what does the NRA think of this? And so I asked around and never got much response. But behind the scenes, I kind of heard a response from someone that said, well, they don't want to be on this issue because then they'd be hammered by the gun control lobby for saying you want to arm drug addicts. So is there any, I mean, these are kind of strange bedfellows. We're talking gun rights advocates usually on the perceived as the political right, and marijuana advocates tend to be perceived on the political left. How do these two things overlap each other, and how do we get the reticence of some typical gun owners to actually want to address this issue?
Well, you know, when you talk about the gun lobby in this country, as I do from pretty frequently in speaking on college campuses, you're looking at 125 million gun owners in this country. And while it's true that the more conservative you self-identify yourself, the more likely you are to be a gun owner, it also happens to be true that there are about 12 to 15 million self-identified liberals that own guns. Mm-hmm. That's 4 or 5 times the size of the National Rifle Association's membership. There's another 50, 60 million self-identified moderates that own guns, and another 40 or 50 million self-identified conservatives that own guns. Well, even if you look at the poll that the Gallup poll this week, and the lowest support for legalized marijuana comes from conservatives, but even amongst conservatives, you're looking at about one-third.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you take a third of the conservative gun owners and about half of the moderate gun owners and about two-thirds of the liberal gun owners, you've got yourself a political force in this country that could change a lot more than the marijuana laws if we found ways to work with one another.
Well put. And Richard, the other thing in your article that I found really fascinating, you know, because I look at this issue from the marijuana side, so of course I can see obviously how the drug war is waged to repress the use of the cannabis plant, but you looked at it from the perspective of gun rights and actually showed some ways in which the drug war is being used to suppress gun rights or to ramp up fear that would be necessary to suppress gun rights. Can you explain that a little more?
Sure. I'm sure many of your listeners are familiar with the incident that's been going on in the news over the last 6 months along the Mexican border.
Sure.
With the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms called Operation Fast and Furious, mm-hmm. which allowed for the sale and transportation of guns across the border into the hands of the drug cartels so that the ATF could trace them and find out who was getting them.
Right.
And I think the Bureau needs some adult leadership. That's kind of pretty obvious to anybody. But be that as it may, it's only the war against drugs that's fueling their involvement in this issue in the first place, leading to more cries for more stricter controls along the border and at gun shows with guns. Mm-hmm. Absent the war on guns, nobody from Mexico would be terribly interested in obtaining them.
Right, right. And, you know, one theory that I've always had, too, is that to keep a population in fear, there needs to be a lot of crime. And generally, violent crime in America has gone down. We've seen a decrease in assaults and murders and rapes and vandalism and robbery, all these things that we really consider crimes. So there's a need to manufacture some criminals. And you add to that the prison industry that needs to fill those beds. And it seems to me the war on drugs helps to manufacture crime where there'd be none. And then that manufactured crime and violence helps to lead people to call for, you know, restrictions on gun rights. So I think we've reached the same conclusion coming at it from different angles, would you say?
Well, I think it's always been there, but I think the issues, as I said in my Huffington Post piece, are now joined. And they are the same issue, and the outcome of one will impact the outcome of the other.
Mm-hmm. Very well put. Richard Feldman is the author of Ricochet, The Confessions of a Gun Lobbyist. That's available through the website of the Independent Firearm Owners of America. Oh, I'm sorry, Independent Firearm Owners Association, pardon me, at independentfirearmowners.org. And before we let you go, Richard, want to wrap this up. If people want to contact your organization or if there's any other things you'd like to tell people about your organization, this would be the time.
Well, yeah, what our organization is comprised of is we wish to be an intelligent, thoughtful voice on the issue of gun ownership in America. And you can go to our website. You can just Google Independent Firearm Owners and find us, or go to ifoausa.org, and you can communicate with us there. I'm going to be speaking in a couple weeks out in the Drug Policy Alliance conference in Los Angeles, and I expect to have more to say on this issue in this upcoming year, which I think is a really critical year for this movement. It really needs to, especially with this Gallup poll going up around 50%, we need to see some successes and keep this momentum going in order to be truly successful at the federal level, which is ultimately where it's going to matter most.
Yeah, you know, I have been saying for years that no policy has taken more guns out of the hands of law-abiding citizens than the war on drugs. And also, we find that, you know, people, once they have gotten these convictions, you know, say they're growing a plant and they've received this felony conviction, they're prohibited from even owning a firearm. So these issues are inextricably tied to one another. And I'd encourage everyone to check out your book, Ricochet, Confessions of a Gun Lobbyist, at independentfirearmowners.org. To get more in-depth on the Second Amendment issues involved and the lobbying and the politics behind this. Of course, visit normal.org for all the updates here on what happens on the marijuana side of it. And Richard, thanks so much for joining us here on our show.
Thank you. I might add to your listeners, you can pick up a copy of my book probably least expensively on Amazon or eBay.
Yeah, Amazon.com, eBay.com. Richard Feldman, president of Independent Firearm Owners Association. Thanks for joining us here on Normal Show Live.
Thank you.
All right. When we come back, we're going to have our cannabis science segment with a little bit of a twist. We're interviewing Clint Werner, the author of Marijuana, Gateway to Health. And we'll take some of your calls in hour two in our Toker Talk Radio. Thanks for joining us. It's Normal Show Live, voice of the Marijuana Nation. We're right back after this. Hey, Tokers and Tokettes. This is Radical Russ from Normal Show Live. We're proud to be the voice of the Marijuana Nation and proud to have you on our team. Now, you can represent NSL in your own Normal Show Live gear from HandmadeApparel.biz. Adam Hand of Handmade Apparel is one of us and a huge supporter of our show. He's designed the classic Blockhead line of NSL shirts, hoodies, hats, and more. Worn by Radical Russ, Cannabis Carry, and Ganja John on the show and at live events, The designs feature their iconic logos and the "It's got to be 420 somewhere in the world" tagline. Proceeds directly benefit Normal Show Live and HandmadeApparel.biz, one of our community's strongest supporters. You can also get your Cannabis Cure UK, Ganja John Show, Irie Island Hour, and more gear from the Normal Network at HandmadeApparel.biz. Visit HandmadeApparel.biz today.
You're listening to Normal's Daily Audio Stash.
Hear Cannabis Times Radio every Monday at 5 p.m. Pacific with replays at 11 p.m. Pacific. Also catch morning replays every Thursday at 5 a.m. Pacific and weekend replays every Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific right here on the Normal Network.
Ever wonder how often to change your bong water? The most effective method for baking pot brownies? The best destinations for a ganja getaway? How to hide herb in your car? Whether to grow your own? How precisely to legalize it? Or how something as wonderful as marijuana ever got to be illegal in the first place? Finally, you can find all these answers and much more in the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook, featuring 420 things to do when you're stoned. Since 1974, High Times Magazine has covered marijuana in all its aspects and wonders, from cultivation to legalization to the herb's enduring and exalted place in popular culture. Packed with inside information, the official High Times Pot Smoker's Handbook wove all of this collected wisdom together into a single indispensable ganja guide, including an entertaining look at marijuana's history, profiles of herb-friendly travel destinations and festivals, favorite potluck recipes from the High Times staff, smoking skills, advocacy and activism, essential marijuana movies and songs, profiles of famous cannabis strains, comprehensive growing information, celebrity endorsements, and much more. This is truly, finally, the ultimate guide to green living.
It's time for Normal Show Live's Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine. Dr. Earlywine is a professor of psychology at the State University of New York in Albany and the author of Understanding Marijuana. Now here's your dose of cannabis science.
All right, welcome back, folks. We have a switch up today. For today's guest is going to be Clint Werner, MD, who's the author of Marijuana, Gateway to Health, a great tome out there. And, doctor, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you, Mitch?
This is Russ, actually.
Oh, Russ, okay. I heard the pitch earlier. I thought it was Russ, and then I heard the pitch from Mitch. So.
Yeah. Mitch is usually in this segment here. We have a segment every Wednesday where we talk about, you know, medical marijuana, its medical uses. We call it Cannabis Science with Dr. Mitch Earlywine, and Dr. Mitch is off today. We thought we'd bring you in to fill people in on some cannabis science. So welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you so much. I thought I was going to talk to you, but that gave me a little switcheroo there. But it's good to talk to you again. Actually, it was nice we talked at the High Times Cannabis Cup here in San Francisco.
Right, and for people that are looking to hear from you, are you going to be at the DPA conference in November?
No, I actually have to go back and do some parental things at that point, but I do think I'll be at the MAPS conference in December.
Oh, fantastic.
Here in San Francisco.
All right. Well, the book is...
And I'm heading down to WAM this weekend. We have WAM Fest.
Women's Alliance for Medical Marijuana, the WAM Fest is happening. That's right. Say hi to Valerie for me.
I will.
The book that we're here to talk about, Marijuana, Gateway to Health, is our subject. And, of course, we've talked a lot about medical marijuana, both in our community and even in the mainstream. They're hearing more and more about medical marijuana. But typically people think of marijuana, especially out in the mainstream, as a medicine of last resort. You know, if you got cancer, you're on chemo, okay, we'll let you smoke a joint. Explain to our listeners, though, how marijuana is being found, cannabis is being found to not only be, you know, palliative, but also curative and helpful for people to prevent illnesses.
It is really amazing because there's been this long history of using cannabis remedies for, as you say, serious illness to relieve the symptoms of those illnesses. But since the medical marijuana revolution really began with the Proposition 215 passage in 1996, that sort of reignited some curiosity about it. And there was also some science being done in other parts of the world looking at just how marijuana, cannabis, gets us high and how it has other effects, looking at the methodology. And they didn't really find the first link in that chain until 1988. And so from about 1988 until about 2000, there was this incremental building of the science that sort of unveiled what cannabinoids, the active components in marijuana, are doing in our body and how they do it. And from that point of about 2000 on, they could really do more targeted science. And what they've been finding is that cannabinoids interact with receptors throughout our body to tone down pro-cancer activity and to stimulate neuroprotective activity and a whole lot of other beneficial activity.
Wow. And, you know, when we come up with this science, we tell people about it, you know, at first blush, some of the reactions are, you know, oh, it's the snake oil, it's the miracle cure, smoke weed for everything, it'll fix everything. But how much breadth is there in the things that cannabis can help treat? And is it really, is it closer to being a wonder drug than not? I mean, it sounds to me.
It is. The science is solid, and it's building every day, because once you sort of get a foundation built, then you can really build the knowledge base much more quickly. And what, you know, what we're finding is that it has amazing anti-cancer activity, not just through the receptors that are distributed through our body, but on a biochemical level independent of the receptors. And the cannabinoids work not only to inhibit the environment, to change the environment that gives rise to cancer so that we develop less cancers, but they go in and they attack the cancer cells and trigger them to die off because they live too long. That's one of the problems. They don't have what's called apoptosis, which is a mediated cell death. And the cannabinoids actually selectively target the cancer cells and spare the healthy cells for cell death. They inhibit the ability of the collected cells that become a tumor to form vessels to feed themselves with the host's blood supply. And it's just amazing what they're doing to inhibit this whole process on a number of levels.
You're speaking with Clint Werner, the author of Marijuana Gateway to Health, and the use of marijuana not just as a treatment for symptoms, but a treatment for illnesses and a preventative. In what ways can people that are currently using cannabis, do we have science that shows better longevity? I mean, recently we saw one that showed that we have less obesity. What benefits can we tell people when they say that, oh, it's not really that all that great?
Well, in my book, what I did was I presented some of the laboratory studies that explain how the cannabinoids work on the cells and show that there is anti-tumor activity. But then I backed that up with epidemiological studies that show this actually plays out in the general population. And probably the most interesting one is the one that Dr. Tashkin's group down in UCLA did. It was done for the National Institute on Drug Abuse. It was a harm assessment study meant to prove once and for all that chronic long-term marijuana smoking causes lung cancer. So there is a huge survey of the lung cancer population with an almost equal number of controls in the greater L.A. area. And it was overseen by this world expert in epidemiological studies. And when they cooked the data and they got it down and they processed it and they found out what the results were and correlated everything, they were pretty shocked because it showed that chronic long-term marijuana smokers have less lung cancer, in general, have less lung cancer than people who never smoke anything.
Wow.
Up to a 37% reduction in the incidence of lung cancer.
That's really amazing data. How about some of the harms that the prohibitionists will point at, you know, people that are using it non-medically or what they call recreational use? They'll say, oh, you know, there's going to be, you know, lose your memory and your motivation and all these terrible things will happen to you. Are there downsides to regular use of cannabis? Are some of these things true or is it all bunk?
It depends on the person. You know, there are people who are great achievers who use cannabis every day. I point out in my book that my father, who was really a great civic leader and an achiever, was a great provider, and he's still fairly dynamic into his mid-80s, he had one or two cocktails every day of his life after work. No problem with it whatsoever, and the same can hold true for cannabis. There are plenty of people who are achievers and motivated. It really gripes me a little bit because on one hand they try to paint those of us who enjoy cannabis as underachievers and slackers and people who haven't done anything. But then on the other hand, they talk about how we've raised the potency of marijuana in, 20 years. They claim 10 times what it was. Well, basically, we've just taken the best and made it more available.
Yeah.
But I digress. But you know what I'm saying. There's plenty of evidence. We've established the only growth industry that exists in California right now, and the feds are trying to take it out at the knees. But, you know, you can't say wholesale. They'll point, you know, people think of it, you know, they might know someone who doesn't get much done, who smokes a lot. But Nikki Norris says, don't blame the pot. You know, a slacker will be a slacker, whether it's the cannabis or not. And there are people who have bad relationships with it. You know, there's a small percentage of people for whom it becomes an overwhelming, obsessive pursuit, and it gets in the way of their functioning. And that's what you need to ask yourself. Are you, you know, are you getting things done? Do you have a dynamic life? Do you have a broad range of interests? Do you have good relationships? If that's what's going on, you don't have a cannabis problem.
Well put. Now, Clint Werner, author of Marijuana Gateway to Health, as you were researching the book, I imagine that you probably were fairly well indoctrinated into marijuana culture and knew a lot about marijuana use going into it. But in your research, did you find any benefit or use of marijuana that you found to be surprising?
Well, sort of the trigger for really pushing me to steer this book. I had been writing a history of medical marijuana, but when the science started coming in around 2000, 2001, and just increasing, the one thing that really I found terribly ironic and very motivating to put this book together was a study that showed that binge drinking adolescents who are concurrently using marijuana, in other words, if they're smoking while they're binge drinking, mm-hmm. they have a profound reduction in the brain damage that the alcohol causes. Mm-hmm. And that, you know, I knew about the Alzheimer's and the brain injury and the stroke, how cannabis, the cannabinoids, stop the brain damage in those situations, but I never really considered that, you know, how much harm alcohol does and that cannabis might be a shield to the poisoning that alcohol does to the brain. And that's ironic on so many levels.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, we see how alcohol is so promoted in our society and even almost as a rite of passage for our youth, you know, going to spring break, doing the keg stands, and but the marijuana is demonized. It turns out that could be actually, and it looks like it is, saving some of the brains of some of those keg standers.
In my book, I write that if, you know, we lived in a society where people were honest about science and more utilitarian in their thought and behavior, college administrators would require that cannabis be made available at any function where alcohol is served to protect the students from poisoning their brains.
Well, and to make a much, much more fun party, if you ask me.
Exactly. It does, and there'd be fewer fights, probably less vomiting.
Yeah. Yeah. Anti-emetic. Good point. Well, Clint, this is a fascinating subject, of course, and I thank you for joining us here on our cannabis science segment. If there was one thing you wanted to leave our audience with as far as ways to contact you, your websites, how to get your book, anything like that, this is the time.
Well, I am on Facebook. I have a Marijuana Gateway to Health Facebook page and one under my name, Clint Werner. I have a website that is still sort of rudimentary. I'm not the techiest guy in the world, but it's marijuanagatewaytohealth.com. And the book is available through Amazon and Barnes & Noble online. And there are a couple of Phoenix Bookstore here in San Francisco on 24th Street has a couple of copies, and I'll be turning up at events, hopefully, with a few copies to sell.
All right.
And I do want to say that I wrote this book to be a guide for people, to persuade people that there's no reason that anyone should ever be arrested or imprisoned for using, growing, or distributing cannabis, and that people who need it, the range increases of people who can benefit from it medically for a palliative or for a preventative. One neurologist said if we all take a puff a day as we age, it will prevent serious aging brain damage such as Alzheimer's.
Wow. That puff a day keeps the doctor away.
I guess
exactly.
That's what
we can say.
That's right. Thank you so much, Russ.
I really appreciate you helping. Marijuana Gateway to Health is the book. Check it out on Amazon and places, other fine places where you can find great books like this one. Clint Werner is our guest. Thanks for joining us. And that's it. That's all the time we have for today. We're going to hang out in the studio in hour two. Wiz Khalifa, Ganja John are here. Cannabis Carrie's in the virtual studio. I bet Kyle NorCal Perps is probably there too. It's going to be a party, y'all, just like summertime, summertime. For those of you listening on the podcast, thanks for joining us. We'll be with you tomorrow with more news and interviews you can use for the cannabis community. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is Normal Show Live, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Take it on one more time. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you try it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth.